Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
I gave you fair warning, beware, beware, beware.
All right, we are here on Faces for Radio. My buddy to the left, Gartiz. What's happening, man? Back for week number two. I don't know if we're giving someone 2 points or somebody's counting to two or what, but I'm excited.
It doesn't really matter. It's part two.
Well, the first thing we need to do before we get started is our weekly shot of tequila. Did you get it ready for us?
I did. It's nice and chilled. We're good to go. We'll make a little toast. We're going once again with bringing back the Crystal Skull Ka tequila.
Ka.
Really because it's the only tequila they have at the studio bar. What kind of a work environment is this for the studio bar? Only has one kind of tequila. So,
and it's like mid-shelf at best.
So we'll work on that and get that better. But I like to make a toast. For Faces for Radio, coming back for week number two after some amazing ratings last week, I'm sorry. And number two for you, Anthony, remembering the name of the show this week.
Yes, I don't want to forget it again.
That's a good start, so to that, my friend.
I think that's shit. So, it's interesting that you bring up that it's like our first show, we have good ratings, yada, 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 yada. Because, as you know, I follow the news a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
And there's this bill going through the Senate right now. A guy from Massachusetts and a guy from New York, I believe they're both gentlemen. They want to create a bill that basically scours the internet and media for speech that encourages violence, hate, anger. I'm not really sure what they're looking for because they're not really being specific about what they're looking for. And I think that the whole reason they're up for this is because of our last week's show.
You think so?
I think that we made such an impact on the world last week that it's scaring the government.
That would actually make a lot of sense. I mean, and I believe it.
I mean, you would have to imagine that most of our ratings have to come from the NSA anyway, right?
At least three people from the NSA are listening.
At least three.
And if really, I mean, if what was the thing that they were scouting for? Hatred?
Hatred, things that like incite violence, hatred, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
that was all us last week.
That's what we
did have Nancy Grace on the show.
She was disgusting to look at.
Hey, but I hate that I'm laughing because she is a lovely woman. But believe it or not, I was actually able to kind of patch things up throughout the week, and she's willing to come back pretty much whenever I ask her to.
Oh.
There's just one condition.
What's that condition?
You can't be in the room.
I don't think that's a problem. Hopefully she won't be coming back anytime soon, though, because she really left a stink in this studio.
Well, she really thought you were just a dick. So she loved me.
Well,
for whatever reason.
I'll tell you what, she's not too far off. I mean, that's, you know, that's, I feel like that's most people's impression when they meet me. But speaking of being kind of a jerk, you're looking a little shaggy over there. Yeah, that's the last time you got your head trimmed, buddy.
Well, it's a funny story, actually. I meant to go to the barbershop to get my hair cut, and then I realized that they use clippers. So I realized that the odor might be a little racist. So I just boycotted. Hey, when did you get a snare drum?
I have it. It's just sitting behind me.
You just carry a snare drum?
Let's be honest to the viewers. Did we make that joke because the joke was really funny, or did we make it because we wanted to introduce the soundboard?
I think it was a little combination of both, and it worked out wonderful.
You know, I was cracking up about that joke. I was laughing about it. And then what you guys don't know is we basically have a meeting about like an hour and a half before the show starts, kind of like go over what we're going to, you know, try to like hit on, run through, whatever. And we decided to look at this soundboard, and once we got our hands on it, I can't stop playing with it. So it's not 100% working correctly yet, but be prepared to hear some muffled sounds at best.
It'll make me laugh. Well, that's good.
So yeah, the Clippers are they racist? Is the whole team racist? What is it? I don't follow these things. I heard there's something going on with sports this week.
There is. There's actually a lot going on. Before we even get started with whatever other nonsense we need to talk about, I got to give a shout-out to the Washington Wizards, the team that we followed for a long time. I know it's got a pretty strong and loyal fan base, and, man, they're doing their thing. So we're on to good things, and hopefully next week when I talk to you guys, we'll be even farther along and getting one step closer to some finals. All right? So go ahead, take them, man.
All right, we got a call. Let's check out who it is. Hey, what's up? You're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hi, Anthony. How you doing?
Oh, it's Mr. Ray. How are you doing, Ray?
Well, I'm a little surprised because I actually called in to listen to the show. I have no actual thoughts for you.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that you were just calling in to listen.
No, that's fine. I didn't hit the little button. See, Blog Talk Radio, they lied, because it said that if I wanted to talk to you, that I should hit the number one.
And
then I said, oh, well, I'll just not hit that, and then I won't ruin their stride by having them try to take this call where the person just has nothing to say.
I'm I'm not used to taking calls yet.
No, it is an art.
You know, actually... To be honest, you normally host the show with us, and there'd be no reason for you to have practice taking callers because we don't.
Well, you know,
it.
On our show, when the callers call in, the last thing I want to do is talk to those people.
I know. Isn't it the worst?
But that's not nice to say. I'm sure that listener is a really nice person. Like,
no, it's not. No, they're not. Like, they're idiots. If you guys, like, legitimately, well, I guess while we're talking about this, and I have you here, maybe I could ask you guys this: is there such a thing as a person who calls into a radio show whose thoughts are worth listening to?
Oh man, that's a good question.
I would have liked to believe that if I ever called into a radio show, I would be that guy. But after listening back last week, I don't think I would be that guy.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like it's all about us.
Yeah. if you want to say something, get your own show. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like,
pretty much,
that's
man.
That's how I was thinking. It's like if you had enough thought to where your opinion mattered, you would probably be on a show somewhere.
Yeah, that's very true.
Because I don't know if you guys know this, I'm kind of an idiot, and even I'm on a show.
Actually, Ray has he's pretty much the best at like making people feel like crap during the show. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, cool! I love introducing people like that.
He likes a real negative tone to the show. Who is the guy we had on from Tough Enough who you were just like feeding into it so hard?
Oh,
the guy from Maroon 5.
Yeah, Adam Levine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the guy we had on, and like, yeah. I don't, he did it to himself. Like, he could have not come on.
It was his fault. It was like, dude, it was his fault. It was like watching Anakin like become like the Emperor getting hold of him. He'd like slowly get like angrier and angrier, and Rey would be like, "Yes, be negative. We love it. Bring it out."
Yeah, it brings the ratings, man.
Yeah, you're right.
Controversy creates the cash.
But like, I mean, we even tried giving him positive questions, and then he's like, "Yeah," and man, this really sucks that I'm here in Puerto Rico. My life
yeah,
is basically
like,
over, and like
nice down there.
And he's like, it just made me so sad listening to him because he's literally the same age as me, and his life is over apparently. So that's nice.
Yeah. So I want to talk about this Clippers thing.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about that moron's helmet that she was wearing the other day.
Dude, I don't understand why this girl would need to try to extort or do anything for financial gain for the owner when she makes hit records for Daft Punk.
Yeah.
Like, she had one of the hottest albums of the year last summer. Like, how is she – why would she need to try to steal money from this man? Like and wearing the helmet to go pump gas, that's just – that's taking it to another – that's commitment to the character and the gimmick right there.
I never in my life thought that – we would find out who the true identity of Daft Punk is. I mean, I always thought one of them was the dog from the Around the World video, but I guess the other one now is whatever this girl's name is that I don't really care to pronounce.
Yeah, yeah. It was shocking. It was a shocking turn of events.
See, you think she's the Daft Punk person, but I'll tell you what I think. I think that she took off the blue helmet and she's really the Cobra Commander. And I think what she's really lobbying for is not all this racism nonsense. She doesn't care about that. She wouldn't be with this guy if she cared about that. You know what she cares about? She cares about WrestleMania. She cares about once in a lifetime. Number 31, Cobra Commander, Sergeant Slaughter. A match.
With the Hall of Famer Sergeant Slaughter.
A match you never thought you would see. It's happening this year. And Sterling's going to be with, like, the Iron Sheik, and they're going to be, like, these racist dudes running around. It's going to be awesome.
I mean, that gets your celebrity involvement into WrestleMania 31. That's got it covered.
Yeah. She's kind of ridiculous. I don't like her at all.
Yeah, she's kind of, I mean, aside from just the whole thing of recording pillow talk, I mean, which is just kind of dirty to begin with, like, to come out after the fact and say that she is upset that all this has happened to the boyfriend, it's kind of shocking.
And obviously we don't know the answer to this, or at least I don't think we do. That's why I'm going to ask you. Do we know if he, like, would say this stuff to her on a regular basis, or was this, like, just, like, this one-time thing that happened?
No. Well, I mean, obviously that specific, we're not sure. But from what I am to understand, the guy has a history.
Okay.
I'm talking about, like, a 30-plus year history where there's been lawsuits against him. There's been allegations. This isn't just something that popped up. Like, the guy's got a history of doing this kind of thing and saying these kind of things and expressing himself this way. And this time he just got caught on tape and sent to the court of TMZ.
So I really, you know, and we were discussing this earlier, like, you don't even really need to say, well, I mean, you need to say it so we don't get, like, arrested by the thought police that, you know, we don't agree with what this guy said. Like, we said this earlier, but the main point of this to me with this girl is how, like, much must you, like, hate yourself that you're, like, willing to, like, put up with somebody who, like, clearly only sees you as an object and, like, you don't care. You're just going to, like, take stuff and you're just going to, like, live your life that way. Like, no ambition, no drive. Like, your drive is to, like, be a toy for somebody so that you can get stuff you want.
Well, I mean, I'd have to say the kind of 30-year-old who dates an 80-year-old. I mean, that's the kind, like, that's the kind of person it is. Like, I don't know what else, like, how else to even explain that.
Yeah. Did you hear the phone conversation?
I did.
Pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. My favorite part of the whole conversation is if you listen real closely in the background, you'll actually hear, like, someone banging on the door. And I'm just envisioning it, like, being one of his, like, servants coming to the door being like, yo, you're being recorded. Stop talking. And he just wouldn't answer the door because he was, like, crying on the phone with his girl. And it just that just made me chuckle.
You think there was, like, a van outside with, like, a big, like, dish, like, pointed right at the house, like, just trying to record everything?
I don't even think it was that sophisticated.
You think other things that have to go on with this is other people, you know, talk like this guy does. Like, it goes on everywhere, you know. Like, there's, like, everybody who's talking about this and being like, oh, you know, this guy's, like, horrible for saying things, da, 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 da. It's like, yeah, you shouldn't say those things. They are terrible things to say. But if like, you know, all the people who come out in the media against this guy, like, all the people who want to buy the clip is, all this nonsense. It's, these people, look inside yourself and say that you never said anything horrible in your life behind closed doors about somebody or a group of people, you're lying if you say you've never done that before.
Right. I mean, I think it's something that we've all done privately. And whether it be joking or in a moment of anger or whatever it may be, you know, said something.
Yeah.
That maybe not even, more likely not even racist, you know, just something ignorant and stupid that you wouldn't want anybody else other than the people who heard it at the moment, you know, hear that.
Yeah, and that's what I really, that's kind of what I meant. Like, yeah, like anything stupid, but it's like we're in this society now where, like, if you do say something, that's, you're pretty much, like, screwed.
Yeah, it seems to be that way, man. I mean, this is it's gonna really open up a lot of doors for just a line of ignorant actions being recorded and put out in public. I mean, it's a shame that in this day and age he still feels that way in the business that he's in. I mean, really, where does this stop? You know, where do we keep going with this? What's the next big, huge scandal to try to put a Band-Aid on a much bigger problem?
Well, I heard the same, you know, the same thing already has happened. It's happened with General Mills. You might not have heard of it. The Count Chocula is very upset about, like, everybody else that are on the boxes. You know, I heard him, he was like, listen to me, General Mills. I do not like that you have a leprechaun and a bee and booberry on the cereal boxes. I like the cereal, but I don't necessarily want them on the boxes. And I heard he's going to get in a lot of trouble for that. I heard...
Count Chocolate said that?
Yeah, Count Chocolate. That's, like, verbatim. Like, I memorized that quote to feed into this because I couldn't get an audio soundbite of it.
Like, I had heard Count Chocula was kind of a dick, but I had never heard this kind of...
Yeah, man, I heard that, like, what's not on the tape is that he just, like, eviscerates people who look like Frankenberry.
Oh, blue people.
Yeah, blue people.
He hated Avatar.
Yeah, I heard that.
I heard rumblings about it.
It's like, where does it end, you know? It's like Chef Boyardee... like yelling about, like, German people eating his sauce, right? Yeah, I don't want those German people eating my sauce. Does that sound like Count Chocula? Is it the same?
It sounded like an Italian Count Chocula.
Well, I kind of envision all vampires as Italians, even though they're from Transylvania. They have that, like, widow's peak and everything, you know?
Right.
Look at mine.
You do have one. I never realized that until now.
Yeah, it's terrible, man. I look like Eddie Munster sometimes.
But yeah, now apparently, you know, back to this whole Donald Sterling thing, the girl apparently claims to have, or not even the girl says somebody else has it and somebody else released it for the profit and the gain, and they have about 100 hours worth of this nonsense. And then, you know, there's obviously the they're trying to get him to sell the team, to which he just flat out said, I'm not selling the team. So I mean, I think really this whole thing has been opened up to become a real nasty legal battle. I mean, it's gonna drag some names through the mud. It's gonna be a black eye any way you look at it on the league. And it's just, I don't know, man. I feel like this is gonna go on for a while, and this might get ugly before it gets better.
I feel like it's one of those things where I really feel like it could have been handled. I don't know. It could have, in a way, been handled in a different way. We were talking about that article that was on ESPN before we came on the air about how, you know, a mob mentality, especially run by the media, is like the worst thing. And it's absolutely true. I mean, it's like, where is this? This is gonna basically what they're saying is they're setting a precedent now. If you say something that you shouldn't say, and regardless if it's recorded illegally or not, or, you know, what it is, you're going to be held accountable for everything you do.
Yeah.
And they're already trying to get rid of the Orlando Magic coach. Have you heard about that?
The coach or the owner?
The owner, I'm sorry.
The owner?
Have you heard about that?
I have not heard about that.
So, basically, people on, like, MSNBC, CNN, and PBS they're starting rumblings, basically. They've brought up three separate times.
Yeah.
How this owner donated money to traditional marriage causes.
Okay.
So now it's going to it's turning into this thing where it's going to be people who have – they're going to follow causes that people want to follow, and certain people are going to be held to those standards, and other people aren't going to be held to those standards. Some people are going to get three strikes. Some people are going to get thrown out immediately.
Well, I think this was – as far as like that Sterling situation goes, like kind of there, the straw that broke the camel's back, and they saw it as an opportunity to make a statement and get rid of the guy who had a history of being, you know, and act, being this way and acting this way, and it was known that he had these views. I mean, I don't know how else to go about it as far, you know, with him, because I mean, the guy apparently, you know, did what he needed to do as an owner. So while obviously what he, his thoughts and his personal and private thoughts at home might be deplorable, and we might not agree with him. I mean, the fact of the matter is, from all we knew, you know, he did his job as an owner. So I don't know. I'm kind of torn back and forth with this whole ban for life. I feel there should have been a punishment, but it looks like he's going to end fighting it pretty hard, which again, like I said earlier, would make this for an interesting, you know, couple weeks and even months leading up to what actually happens with this team. I read some reports somewhere where that, you know, there may be, and obviously there's contracts and things that I don't know about, involved that if he decides to play hardball, the NBA could actually oust the Clippers from the league itself. Now, I don't know how that works, but I had read a rumbling about that. And
well,
that's kind of a big deal, man.
I don't really know how it works. Like, I don't understand how, like, how somebody can own something, but essentially they don't own it. Like, you can own it, but now you're being told you're not allowed to own it. Like, I don't really get that. Like, it doesn't – that to me is kind of like – kind of weird. But it's like, you know, when I think about it, you know, that's an NBA decision. So it's like you own something of the NBA, and then the NBA tells you you can't own it anymore. Okay, that makes sense to me. I just don't want to see that get pushed out onto, like, from – and then, like, the, you know, in other ways.
I think there's a line being crossed between kind of what's morally correct and then, like a, you know, the business side of it. I mean, ultimately, the Clippers are an NBA team that are there to make money and continue to exist as a franchise. And the Clippers make the NBA money. The NBA makes a lot of money. So from a business standpoint, you don't want anything like that associated with your company.
Which is obvious. 100%.
I can understand where they would come in and say, okay, this dude's done. But like you said, I don't get how I can say how they can say he's done, but he still owns a team. And really, I mean, I know they said they got some ways they can force him out, and I'm sure they're going to try to go that route. Which, speaking of which, I'll be really surprised to see what the owners do behind closed doors. I think when the topic is hot and it's the thing to say in public, they'll go against them. But when they flip it and goes in private, because then that opens the door for each and every one of those owners, like you said, the magic one, to get investigated and to really get trampled on. So do we do more damage to the cause than good by pushing this issue? You know, it's just there's so many different angles to it and so many ways this can go. It's really an interesting story, aside from, you know, the blatantly racist points of views and comments that he has.
What they need to do, if they're going to really do anything, is make some sort of rule clause to what people in the NBA can say in and outside of, like, the public. Because you work for them, right? Like, we have jobs outside of this, right? So when we're at those jobs, we can't say certain things, right? We wouldn't be allowed to say them. And that's like – it's not stopping your freedom of speech. You decided – you accepted to work for this company, so you're accepting their rules.
Right.
So that's what needs to happen. They need to change some sort of rule like that. As much as I want to say, you know, this guy should have to go, I think he absolutely should. I think he should resign, get rid of the team, whatever. But I him being forced out to me then, it just there's something that's just not right about that.
I think it was an emotional decision. I think it was a hot topic decision and what everyone wanted to see happen. Like, and you know, and it's what happened. You know, and I like – we'll see what happens. It's going to be a good one, man. It's going to be a ride because this guy's a billionaire, man. He's got money, and he's got money to fight it. So he's going to fight it.
I mean, if you own the team, right? So if he's like he probably is going to fight it, right? I was listening to another show yesterday, and they were saying that, you know, this guy's got a ton of money, just like you said, and he's old, man. He's not. It's not like he needs to survive. Like, he's got everything he wants. He can let this just. He can do whatever he wants with this.
Yeah, truth be told, if he wanted to, he could just sell the team, or even have the team stripped from him, and he'd still be fine.
Yeah. But here's – I got two questions. Could he, one, out of spite, dismantle the team? Could he just be like, you know what? Clippers are folding, and that's the end of the Clippers. Could he do that?
I don't know. That's actually a good question.
Could he give the whole company or sell it, quote, unquote, to his wife?
Well, he's got an estranged wife. They don't get along. If she had a hold of the company, he'd be
a kid. If he has a kid, well, if he has family, some can he sell it to an acquaintance of his for like $50?
I'm sure he. I really don't know. I don't know what all goes in that.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to those questions.
If there's any caller or listeners out there that do know, or
if
have,
you do know the answer to that question, the number here is 914-338-1885. We'd really appreciate the answer to that question, whether or not Sterling could either dismantle the team or just sell it to Gartiz for $20. Well, he might not sell it to you.
Dude, I would definitely buy it for $50, though.
Yeah, but he might not sell it to you because you're not white.
Yeah, I'm Puerto Rican, man. There's no way he'd sell it to me. Maybe he will. I don't know.
You might show up late to the meeting.
That would probably happen, actually. I'd probably miss the entire meeting. Everybody would leave. I'd roll in all happy with my $50 bill, Chris, from the ATM, and they just wouldn't be there.
So now that we're on this like whole topic, this whole thing, let's go to like the larger implications of this. You know who Harry Reid is? Have you heard of this? You know this guy?
Harry Reid. I don't know why it sounds familiar.
He's the Senate Majority Leader. He's a senator of Nevada, Democratic senator.
Okay.
He's kind of he's a dirty politician. He's a really dirty politician. And one of his pet causes is to get rid of the Redskins. And I know you're a Redskins fan.
That's where that name sounds familiar then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's now with this story. He's now trying to, as politicians often do, piggyback onto it with their own pet cause and get rid of the Redskins. Now, do you think that this is going to be it for everything now? The Indian symbol is going to get changed, if they're even allowed to be called the Indians anymore. Pirates are going to get mad about the Raiders and the Pirates, for God's sake, of Pittsburgh. The PETA's not going to let people name teams Penguins or whatever. Do you think we're reaching that point?
I think we're opening a door to that, yes. I don't think it'll be as quick as like everybody just comes out at once. But I definitely think it's going to give all the groups the power and the access and kind of like the way – not necessarily the way, because obviously this was done kind of in a conniving type of way. But it's going to give them the precedent to go ahead and try and keep pushing the issues. I mean, I really feel – and especially this one with the Redskins, which is a topic that's near and dear to me and to a lot of people around me. I really think that's going to be the next one that ends up getting pushed. And this, you know, this kind of the whole racist talk in sports will once again fuel this fire.
Do you think that the Redskins' name is racist?
I do not.
I don't think so either.
That being said, throughout the years, you know, you've heard the arguments and I've heard these people talking. I can understand from their perspective why they would feel it might be a racial term. But as a lifelong Redskins fan, and I think I can speak for a lot of other lifelong Redskins fans, that word is just symbolized burgundy and gold and a football team.
Let me tell you something, man. People always say that over time words change, right? Yeah. So you can't say transsexual, you have to say transgender. And you continually got to update the word. I heard recently, and I don't know if it's true, but I heard they want to change the word polygamy to a threelationship. Okay?
I love that.
So
why not?
So here's the bigger question. If you can go and change a word that and all of a sudden make the word polygamy a negative, why can't you eventually take a word that was originally negative and then eventually it become a positive?
Okay.
Like the Redskins. Like the Redskins at one point, it was – I don't even think it was nasty because if you look at the real history of it, it was because of the way they painted their face, and that's what caused red skin was paint, not that they had red skin legitimately.
Oh, where'd you get that from?
I read it on like a legit source. I don't have it on me, but I can get that for us next week. Like, and I will read the whole thing.
That'd be great, actually, because you know, from my understanding, it was just based on Native Americans and having red skin.
Well, that might have been why the guy originally named it that. But I'm saying that the term redskin itself was not a negative term.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we're about halfway through. I think we're going to hit a commercial break. We will come back. On the other side, we got Onyx.
Yeah.
Ouagadougou to talk about.
Hashtag.
Hashtag Ouagadougou to talk about. And some other stuff that I can't think of right now. So we'll just hit the commercial button. Yay.
See ya.
This is King Kong Bundy, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
The godless voice of Crab Nation.
None of these assholes would have the balls to say any of this to anyone live.
I get hard as one of them stones. I'm going to hurl at a homosexual.
He's got 6 ounces of weed, and he's saving his roaches?
Bangable and diabetic.
Punch the car keys.
This is Stevie Wonder.
Free speech zone should just be the air, motherfucker.
Catch the crabs on Crab Nation Live weekdays.
Noon to 2 p.m. Pacific, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation.
Hey, I'm the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Are you tired of paying high telephone and internet bills for your business? It's time to call NetCarrier, baby! If you're ready to take your phone service into the cloud, NetCarrier is the place to go to get the best in telecommunication service. Call NetCarrier today for a free analysis of your phone bills. 877-255-7733. That's right, 877-255-7733. Call now.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke conventions and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information or email The Voice of Choice at voc@vocnation.com.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, thanks for coming on down. It's Save Wrestling, the podcast and the business making towns. Hear all about how I make towns and so much more every Monday, right before Raw, 6 p.m. Eastern, here on the VOC Nation. Adios.
The Voice of Choice here. Are you looking for a videographer for your event? Maybe a wedding, party, company video? Well, listen, Metro Media Studios is focused on providing high-quality service and customer satisfaction, and they'll do everything they can to meet your needs. They got a variety of services to choose from. They'll make sure that you get the professionally produced video of your dreams. MetroMediaStudios.com. That's Metro with an A, MediaStudios.com. Check them out today.
The Gold Club, Philly's hottest gentlemen's club. Only the finest ladies, the cream of the crop. If you don't believe me, then stop one by. The Gold Club, Philadelphia, is located at 1416 Chancellor Street. Or check out the website, www.worldfamousgoldclub.com.
This is TNA Knockout, Madison Rain, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Live from the In The Room studios located in the NetCarrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Oh, we're back. There we go. Please sit, sit. Thank you, crowd. Thank you. My crowd. Cool. Awesome.
What that's got.
What are you talking about? We got this people right there watching us.
We have this expensive studio that we sit in.
It's state of the art.
It is. I like all the ambiance that's around to look at.
It is. It's really inspiring ambiance, motivating. Kind of brings up ideas.
It does. It gets the juices flowing.
That was the cliche I was looking for, and you stole it from me. Damn it, man. I got to be a little quicker about that next week.
You know, it comes over time. I'm an old hand at these podcast/radio thingies.
That is true. You are the vet.
Yeah.
I'm the rookie.
The crafty veteran.
Trying to bury me already, man.
Well, I want to toss it to you right now. And not a stinky stink palm fart.
Thanks, man.
I want to toss to you this NFL teams story that you brought to me earlier in the week. It has to do with teams selling tickets and not selling tickets to specific people.
Well, I know you have your own set of issues with Ticketmaster, and bringing that up, I found this kind of interesting. That there's last year during the playoffs, apparently the Seattle Seahawks had limited access of their tickets to certain states, certain areas, so teams from opposing San Francisco could not drive to Washington and fill their stadium and support the team. So now there's a gentleman who lives somewhere, I believe, in Colorado. It's a 49ers fan, was willing to make the buy the tickets, make the trip to go see the playoff game, and was denied tickets.
So is he upset about it?
Oh, he's really upset.
Was he? He's very upset, right?
It's not funny. He's upset.
I know. Is this? I heard he was just very, very sad about the whole
thing. That guy's crying. I forgot. Yeah. Well, he was really upset about it. I mean, so upset. It's okay. So get this guy a tissue, please.
Here you go, sir.
All right. Well. Hey, it's okay, buddy. We're going to help you out through this story, okay?
Love this soundboard.
Look at it on Christmas. So back to the story before we get interrupted by this weeping guy. So apparently he's now suing, I believe, Ticketmaster, and I believe the NFL might even be involved in commercial discrimination. And you, with your longstanding feud with Ticketmaster, anyway, I just was curious what you thought about that. Like, does this guy does this case hold water? Does he have a foot to stand on here, claiming commercial discrimination, which I'd never even heard of? Like that I guess it's just discrimination in any. I mean, it's discrimination. What the heck? But that particular one, I never heard of it. And for a lot of money, man, this guy didn't get to spend a couple thousand dollars to go to a playoff game and is suing for multi-millions.
I think it's, I'll give you my opinion and then what I think is going to happen. I think in the country we live in, that you should be able to, if you own a team and you want to sell tickets to your fan base first, you should be allowed to do that. Problem is the word discrimination. Where do you draw the line? Like, hey, maybe that the guy who wanted to buy tickets was also German. And the owner of the Seahawks doesn't like German people. And that's how – I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like it goes in perfectly with what we're talking about. It's just this like racism, discrimination, prejudice that just it's the world's never accepting apology.
But the thing about it, the discrimination per se wasn't about his race, gender, color, anything. It literally had to do with his address. The guy had a credit card that was based out of Colorado, and they had limited that only the surrounding states of Washington could access these tickets.
And I, like I said,
so that's even like a weirder form of discrimination. I feel like it's not even like
I don't think it is discrimination. I think it's silly. I think it's a stupid thing. But I, the way it works, he's gonna win. I think.
Really? You think this guy's going to get like some $30 million for not being able to go watch his team lose in the playoffs?
I don't think he's going to get that much, but I think he's going to get something.
Really?
I really do.
And see, as we talked about earlier, you know, big Redskins fan here. I wouldn't have a single bit of a problem with this thing, with this whole situation, if we did it over here. There's nothing more sad than going to a game and seeing a stadium, your home stadium, 60% full with other teams, with other fans. So if we could find some way to kind of check them and fill the stadium with our fans, I think, why not? I'm a fan. I can get in. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, and you know, we're East Coast people. You know, on the East Coast, if you go to a game and you're wearing the opposing colors, it's not fun. Like you're not gonna have a good time. Like, why do you put yourself through that? Like, watch it on TV, man. Go sit at the bar, have a drink. Like, it'll be easier for you. My parents have Rangers tickets, like season tickets. And it is rough to see other fans there.
Well, during that playoff game, did you see the video the other day at the Phillies game where the Phillies fans and the Rangers fans up in like the nosebleed 400s at the end of the game got at it?
No.
There was like a 4 or 5 person brawl.
I believe it.
Hey, nothing better to do.
Yeah, we were getting hosed that game. We were getting hosed, eh? No hockey sounds on the board for me to press.
Oh, wait, what kind of hockey sounds would you want?
I don't know.
There you go. You can find yourself some hockey sounds.
Maybe I will. You know, I'll be honest with you. We don't even really need to do a show. We can just sit here, and I will just press all the sounds on the sound button. And I will call this like a test episode.
Did you find anything else interesting? You haven't stopped playing with that thing since you got it.
I know.
We almost missed the start of the show because you were playing with sounds.
True story.
That's actually really happened. That really happened.
Yeah, that really happened. So how about a hockey body check? It's all right.
That was a good one.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's a good one.
So, yeah, but you're right. I don't really agree. I hate, like, Ticketmaster, StubHub, all that stuff. And it's more that I hate StubHub because I feel like it is unless you buy tickets, unless you pre-order the tickets now, like when they give you those, like, early release codes,
yeah.
you pretty much have to go to one of those, like, scalping's illegal, but you can scalp online basically by putting your tickets on a bidding war. And you can't get to things. Like, it really sucks.
I don't know. It's worked out well for me in the past. I have had to pay a lot of money, though, way above face value at times to get the shows, but we have got the shows.
I hate spending money on the tickets. It drives me crazy. I hate spending money on everything. You know that.
That is true. I was going to say, I'm trying to think of a time that.
Well, what are you going to do? So last week, we started a new segment, right? Or we started a new segment on the first show.
Yes, it's a brand new segment on the brand new show.
On the brand new show. What's the name of the segment?
I Listen to Better Rap Than You. Again, relatively self-explanatory concept to the segment here. Essentially, I come in.
Sorry, the breaking news sound came in late. I'll get it working.
All right, so yeah, breaking news. I Listen to Better Rap Than You, segment one. Essentially, I come in, I'll recommend an album to you guys that I just kind of pull out of the blue that I like to listen to, and we'll see what we'll comment. All right, Anthony got to hear it over the week. I really thought it'd be a good one for the debut show because I knew Anthony was a fan of the group Onyx. All right, album hashtag Wake the Fuck Up. I had no idea this album came out.
Wait, what's it called?
Hashtag Wake the Fuck Up.
Oh, I thought it was Waka de Fuku. All week.
That's because you read it phonetically.
I do.
It's just educated.
I'm very smart. My man's on this album.
Well, it's because you have trouble reading the hashtag things, too.
I don't like hashtags. I don't like Twitter.
Have you actually touched the Twitter account since we opened it?
No, because we don't have any followers.
You know, the funny thing is, for about the first 2 days, I would actually click on it just to see, and I'd be like, no, same guy. Did anybody say anything? No.
We lost a follower.
Did we really?
We had six, and now we have five.
Who dropped us?
Who cares? You know what? Follow us on Facebook. It's at Faces for Radio 1. Or don't follow us on Twitter. I don't care. It really doesn't matter.
Except for that one guy who dropped us on Twitter. If you show up on Facebook, we're going to defriend you, all right?
So, all right, I'm sorry. So, the Onyx CD, what did you think about it?
Well, man, I thought, one, it was just a pleasant surprise. Didn't even know it was out. So I picked it up, listened to it. My initial reaction, man, was just kind of reminding me really what I liked about them in the first place. Obviously, it was a long time, 20-some years in between. You know, they lose a little bit of the edge. One grows up and matures a little bit, but overall, man, it was just a gritty, aggressive, old-school 90s, like, New York rap-sounding album. And honestly, I love the energy of it.
I have to lay a correction on you, and I hate to do that. I have to. Onyx actually did come out with another album after Shut 'Em Down, which came out in 99.
It was like a mixtape or something, wasn't it?
Let me look up the name of it, because I have it. I just don't remember what the name of it is.
Why the hell didn't you tell me this last week?
Because I didn't pick up until I listened to the replay that you said the wrong
burying me.
Time.
I'm burying me. Leaving me hanging.
I'm not burying you.
Oh, my gosh.
So stiff. It's called... No, you're thinking Cold Case Files Volume 2 is... Nah, dude, they came out with mad albums, man.
But are they mixtapes or are they albums? Because I was under the impression that this was the first studio album.
Back at the Fuku number two.
Hashtag.
Is an album. And that came out in 2002. In 2003, and I like the name of this, and I've never heard it before, is Trigonometry. But I don't know. It looks like a mixtape, but I'm not really sure. Cold Case Files in 2008 is a mixtape. Definitely.
Well, I stand corrected.
And I'm sorry. I didn't mean to throw you under the bus.
You couldn't have done that off air?
I could have. But, you know, I forgot the name of the show last week. You know,
it happens.
Take me for face value.
Back to the point. It doesn't matter if they've put out 20 albums since the last one. I still listen to better rap than you do.
Yeah.
So, back to what we were saying. We had talked about the album. Like I mentioned, my one thing is this. I really think that certain music leads a certain, you know, is appropriate to certain attitudes. It's not really a CD that I found myself listening to while I just wanted to sit back and be happy. Like, I really thought it was like a good, like, gym, hit the gym, crush out weights, break something type of a CD, type of a feel to it, which has its time and its place. But I think at my tender age, I like to kick back and relax a little more. Still felt it was an awesome album, but ultimately that's what I thought about it.
Wasn't a huge fan of the album. I didn't dislike the whole thing. I thought the middle of it was really good, from Buck Buck to Hammers on Deck. I thought everything in between was really good. Obviously, and Gartiz knows me well, so he'll know. The Tunnel is my favorite track on there because Meg is on there. And, yeah, Cormega, if you don't know, he's kind of like this guy who should have been big but then wasn't because people don't know. But, yeah, so you need to check that out. That's The Tunnel, anyway.
Yeah, and I thought, I mean, like you mentioned, it was right in the middle of the CD. Right in the middle of the album, I felt the album was bookended real well. Real strong beginning as far as, like, the first two, three songs. Real strong end, and a couple really tough ones in the middle, including
The Tunnel. So I guess what we're saying is, if you have tastes that are in between mine and Gartiz, you'll love this album.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean,
because you love half of it, and I love half of it.
But you know what's funny, and I found this interesting, is that it was produced by a group called the Snow Goons out of Germany, right? And this really had, I think you can agree with me, it really had a kind of a gritty, hard, like, just an old school type of feel to it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's not surprising. Europeans and people around the world, when it comes to rap and hip-hop, from what I've just heard kind of exploring away, they tend to be about 10, 15 years behind the curve of what's going on up here in the States.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? Pop music and, like, dance music, they're always, like, 4 months ahead of us.
Yeah. I mean, we just jack their stuff for pop and dance, they jack our stuff for rap, and they come out making an awesome-sounding album for people that grew up in the time we grew up in.
Yeah, I always liked Onyx. I just didn't think it was, you know, I don't know how well you know, like, their albums, but Shut 'Em Down is front to back, man, like, incredible. And it's like, if you can't, like, if to me, it's like, once an artist comes out with something else that's, like, not as good as what they had previously in, like, a lot of aspects, I'm just going to listen to what they had previously.
Well, and that's a good thing, because that's one thing the segment can do. It can bring back the old stuff that we might have forgotten about, that maybe we can go back and explore and really have some fun with it. So, again, if you follow on the Twitter, if anybody follows on the Twitter, leave a suggestion. I'll check it out. We'll discuss it. If not, we'll be back in a couple weeks with a new album.
I just checked the Twitter. We lost another follower. We're down to four, and three of them are from
the station.
So nobody's listening. Nobody's following us on Twitter.
That one random guy right there, the guy would have thought would have left us, because I don't know who that guy is.
I don't know who that guy is. He's a fan. We have a fan.
Hey, this goes out to that fan.
Yeah.
As long as you listen every week, we'll be here. You know what the problem with Twitter things here? I don't think we know how to use it. I've never sent a tweet in my life.
You know, I've sent, it tells you how many you've sent. I've sent four tweets, and they all must suck because I'm not trending worldwide. You're not trending worldwide.
we need to trend worldwide. Should we make a goal for the show that at some point in our career, the faces of For Radio will trend worldwide?
In our career.
Could we start that?
We're going to have a long career.
I'd hope. I mean, they brought us back for a second show. What else could go
wrong? Yes. We're like Drake. We started from the bottom.
Now we're here.
At the bottom.
Hey, man, because there's nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, that's true.
There's nowhere to go but up. And now that we got a soundboard, you kidding me?
Yeah, man. Soundboards are sick. Like a huge bass from the movies. That's pretty whack.
I don't think you could hear it. Couldn't hear it yet.
You know what?
We're still having technical difficulties with the soundboard.
We'll get it working. It's fine. So we got about 10 minutes left, and I was going to ask you, because I know you're a comic book guy, are you excited at all for Spider-Man? Spider-Man.
I actually am, believe it or not. I wasn't originally for the first one. I really didn't care for it, didn't really, and I love Spider-Man. I love the character.
That movie was whack, bro.
The first one?
Yeah.
You think so?
There has never been a good Spider-Man.
Hold on, but are you talking about, okay, so you're combining the last trilogy.
I'm going to combine every Spider-Man movie that's ever been made since films. There's never been a good...
Since the invention of film.
There's never been a good Spider-Man movie.
Okay, well, you're not even the first one, the first trilogy, Spider-Man?
Nah, man, that was the most lame love story garbage fest ever. They put that silly mask for Green Goblin. He acted like a tool the whole time. He wore that robot suit. Man, it was horrible. That movie was horrible.
Okay.
The only thing that was good about that movie was when Mary Jane was around in the rain. That's it. And I'm not even like one of those people who's like, yo, man, I gotta check out that chick. So that's how bad that movie was, that the only thing I could think of that was good was when that girl was.
Well, see, I saw it twice in the theater. I thought it was really good.
Twice in the theater?
Yeah, twice in the theater.
Oh, my God.
Like, I saw it once, thought it was great, went back, saw it again later.
Did you like the one with Octopus?
I did, actually.
Oh, my God. That was even worse than the first.
No, the third one was terrible, but I thought the second one was all right.
Man. They were all – that was a giant crap fest. And the first
– okay, so back to the original question. I'm assuming then you are not excited at all.
No, I could care less about this.
Okay.
I'm not – I mean, I'm more of a – I love, like, comics and stuff. But the movies, man, they just don't do it for me.
Yeah, and that's one thing I've seen about you. Like, you're really into your comics, probably more so than a lot of people I know. But you don't like any of the, you don't like any of the Marvel – Cinematic Universe?
Not really.
None of them, really?
None that I can think of.
And I know that you're a Batman guy.
Yeah, huge Batman fan.
So with now the recent announcement of, you know, we got Batman vs. Superman. We got a recent announcement of a Justice League movie coming out.
Man,
in no way, shape, or form, does that spark your interest?
If you look, my shelves right in front of you.
We're in the studio. I can't see that.
Yeah, far. But I keep all my books here because I don't like to do work. If you look at my If you look at the books,
yeah.
You will not see a Justice League book. The only DC character you will see is Batman. And there's like one Superman novel, but it's, you know, the death of Superman and that one where he's a commie that I just found interesting. I don't really find the DC universe that interesting except for Batman. However, I do think they make better movies than the Marvel Universe. Like, I thought the Batman trilogy, except that one with Bane, was good. The first one, incredible. Second one, really good. The original Batman movie, not the one with the shark bat repellent, but the one with Jack Nicholson as a Joker.
Yeah.
That one was really good. Even the one with Penguin, pretty good. Like, I could go back and watch that one and be like, all right, I can sit through this. If I don't shut it off, I think it's an all right movie.
All right, hold on real quick. It's a little breaking news here to share with Anthony. Did he get through?
I didn't see what that was. No, what? I don't have any callers on the list.
Yeah, well, I got
806.
I don't know who. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's not how those numbers going to come up.
It's an 806 number.
I don't know. Answer. It's not an 806 number. I know that.
What's up, man?
Hey.
You're on there.
Yeah, this is Big Vito.
No, this is not Big Vito. Big Vito comes on at 7:30. No, 7 o'clock.
Oh, okay. My bad.
That's right. Well, what do you have to say, buddy? What's up? What's going on? Talk to us. Nobody else called. Like, talk to me, man. What's happening?
Hey, is this a wrestling one or?
Nah, man. This is just kind of nonsense. We're talking about the new Spider-Man movie right now. We can talk wrestling if you want.
Talk about, man.
Oh, man. I was just, the movie industry's pretty weird right now anyway. I like a lot of the most talked about movie I've ever heard anybody talk about is The Wolf of Wall Street. Because that movie was so over the top on the way how it was written and stuff. So
have you seen it?
I've seen it. I've seen it through a couple times. I loved it.
So he was really good.
Yeah, I'd like The Boiler Room except on steroids. They went a little bit farther over the edge.
Things on steroids are usually pretty awesome.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
If anybody uses that description, I'm usually all in. I'm in for it, man.
Yeah, but I'm sort of old school. I really get into the factual documentary stuff. Ever since I saw Cocaine Cowboys, it's hard for me to even watch a drug-related movie.
Oh, yeah, man. I love documentaries and stuff.
Like, how about Blow?
Yeah, everybody's talking about new Spider-Man, and a lot of my friends are talking about, they're wondering how good of a part Ben Affleck's going to play as Batman.
Well, what do you think?
So, man, it's hard to top that guy that he had before. Because when he's dressed in that costume and his voice comes across, oh, man, that means it just...
Sounds kind of raspy.
Yeah, I know, but it almost sounds like a heel in wrestling.
Well, you know what I liked about those movies? And I want to take your take on this, right? The Marvel Cinema, they made all their individual characters with a connection between them all.
Yeah.
Those Batman movies were wonderfully made, but they basically turned into Christopher Nolan's little art projects, and in no way could DC capitalize on that fame to expand their universe, which they should have tried to do in some way. Because you can't, that universe is closed.
Well, the thing with Batman is that he was always based off of, like, being a real person who has, like, gadgets, money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And most of the bad guys, with the exception of, like, Ivy and maybe that's really it, Clayface, Ra's al Ghul, they're pretty much on the level human. So it was easy to kind of, like, make that story. Hey, buddy, man, I hate to do this to you. We're out of here in about 2 minutes, so I'm going to let you go. Right, man?
All right, so you said the deal's coming on at 7. All right,
7 o'clock, man.
Hey, man, but the Faces for Radio come on at 5:30.
Every
like
Thursday.
Back.
Come back on.
Follow us on
Twitter. Okay, no problem.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
Yep.
Dude, we just got a fan.
We did get a fan.
All right.
We're so awesome.
Yeah, pretty cool.
All right, man, so we're out of here in about how much time we got? We got about a minute and a half. So anything left before I do all the plugs and all that kind of nonsense?
No, man. I just want to thank everybody for listening to round 2 of Faces for Radio. We'll be back next week for the 3 count. All right. And you know, things are just going to keep getting bigger and better, man. So, you know, we got a lot of cool stuff coming up that we're really looking forward to sharing with you all on the show. Hopefully you guys will enjoy it. And nah, man, everybody have a great week. We'll be back next week.
We'll get that soundboard working better next week. I got to listen to the playback and just check out, like, how it came out. Probably came out like crap.
You can tell that douche producer to get his shit together.
Yeah.
It'll be all right.
You mean me?
Oh, are you the one doing that, too? Who the hell's that guy back there?
I got a lot of weight on my shoulders in this place. Hey, all right, we're out of here. Check out tonight at 7 o'clock. You may have heard the other caller mistakenly think that Faces for Radio was the Who's Slamming Who. I think he just meant to say Faces for Radio and he got excited for Who's Slamming Who later. But Big Vito is hosting that tonight, so check it out. Don't forget to check out at 9 o'clock on Tuesdays In the Room with Brady Hicks and myself and the rest of the gang. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Twitter, whatever it is, who cares. At Faces for Radio 1. Do we have a Facebook page?
I think so.
Look for the Facebook page. We have a Gmail account, facesforradio@gmail.com. facesforradioshow@gmail.com. Nobody's going to contact us, but we're out of here. So if you can't change the gimmick, we're out of time.
Yeah, the gimmick ain't working.
We're out.